this coming Wednesday, the church begins the most sacred season of the entire year. And we are admonished by Holy Mother the Church to take this season very serious. And not just the season, but the salvation of our own soul. And as it is customary for us to do, according to the old tradition of the old Lenten sermons, we will have a theme for this Lent. And given the circumstance in which we are, given the fact, as I have indicated before, that the traditional Latin Mass will be even more restricted by a document coming out during Holy Week, signed by Francis, restricting the Latin Mass, we thought we would talk about the rite of the Mass, the exterior rite of the Mass, in comparison with the Mass of Paul the VI. And so, when we come to the discussion of the rites of the Mass, the first thing what we need to comprehend is that the exterior rites, that is, all the exteriors you see, the rites, the going-ons of the different prayers and symbols and sacred rites, has only one purpose: to manifest exteriorly what is happening invisibly during this act of worship, the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And according to the teaching of the Church, infallible teaching of the Church, expressed so many times, but especially during the Council of Trent, the Mass is nothing else than the sacrifice of Christ in an unbloody manner. And this truth has to be expressed in general during the rite of the Mass, but also in every particular rite the priest is performing. When we look at the beginning of Mass, that which is also called the preparation rite, the prayers of the foot of the altar, and when we compare it with the beginning of the new Mass, we see before us two different worlds, two different ideas. In the old rite, the priest preparing himself for the most august sacrifice, well aware of his own unworthiness, and this will be expressed in so many ways at the prayers of the foot of the altar. In opposition, in the new Mass, it is totally different. It begins with an entrance song. And then after the sign of the cross, the people are greeted, and there will be a general introduction regarding the particular day of feast. And the penitential rite is very, very stripped from that what was before. In the old traditional rite, the prayers of the foot of the altar, the idea is, and the priest is very aware of this very fact, of what is said in the book of Genesis to Jacob, when he said, "Come not neither, but put off your rather to Moses, put off your shoes from thy feet, for the ground whereon thou standest is holy ground." And the priest is aware of what St. John Chrysostom said when he says, when the priest calls upon the Holy Ghost and offers the tremendous sacrifice, tell me, in what rank should we place him? What purity shall we require of him? What reverence? Then reflect how those hands should be constituted which perform such services. What should that tongue be which pronounces such words? At this moment, the very angel compassed the priest, and the whole choir of the heavenly powers lent their presence and take up the entire space around the altar to honor him who lies thereon in sacrifice. Therefore, the priest should be as pure and as holy as though he were himself in heaven among those sublime beings. This word of St. John Chrysostom connotes the Catholic reality of the Mass, which the exterior rites and even the preparatory rite at the foot of the altar wants to express it. And in the old rite, in the true rite, if you want, the altar, which is itself a symbol of our Lord Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, the altar is the center. God is the center. Our Lord is the center. In the new rite, it is the people. Already in the general introduction of Paul the VI, in the new Missal of the new Mass, it is said that the purpose for this opening rite is that the faithful coming together establish communion among themselves and dispose themselves for properly hearing the Word of God and worldly celebrating the Eucharist. This is quite different. A quite different concept of the Mass than in the old Mass. So the priest, once he prepares the chalice and the missal at the altar, steps down again to the foot of the altar. He genuflects and he begins the holy sacrifice of the Mass with the sign of the cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This venerable custom of making the sign of the cross over persons and things, like when the priest blesses things or people, is of apostolic origin. And some writers trace it back to our Blessed Lord himself, who according to devout opinion blessed at his own ascension into heaven the disciple with his hands in the form of a cross. The making of the sign of the cross at the beginning of Mass, or the signing of one's self with the cross, is profoundly significant. You might remember this next time when you make the sign of the cross. It is first full of a holy mystery. The sign of the cross is a symbolic expression of the principal mysteries of our holy faith, the mysteries of Christianity. It is a confession of the Catholic faith. It reminds us first of the crucified, of the price of our own redemption and the value of our soul. It should enkindle love of God, strengthens hope, and animates us to follow Christ on the way of the cross. Secondly, it reminds us of the principal mystery of our faith, which is the mystery of the Holy Trinity. St. Francis de Sales says on this, "We raise the hand first to the forehead, saying, 'In the name of the Father,' to signify that the Father is the first person of the Most Holy Trinity, of whom the Son is begotten and from whom the Holy Ghost proceeds. Then saying, 'And the Son,' the hand is lowered to the breast to express that the Son proceeds from the Father who sent him down to the womb of the Virgin. And then the hand is moved from the left shoulder to the right while saying, 'End of the Holy Ghost,' thereby signifying that the Holy Ghost, as the third person of the Holy Trinity, proceeds from the Father and the Son, that he is the love that unites both, and that we through his grace partake the fruits of the Passion." So far, St. Francis de Sales. After the sign of the cross, the priest begins the Psalm 42, the famous intro ibad altare Dei, ad Deum glorificat juventutem meam. I will go up to the altar of God to give us joy to my youth. And the very reason why this psalm was chosen is that the theme appears at this psalm several times, which is the altar of God. And this tells us, as I already said, that the altar, and altar stands for sacrifice, that the altar is the center, is the focus point at Mass. And that is why the Psalm 42 is chosen. In the new Mass, it's totally stripped. There is no Psalm 42. There is no prayer of the foot of the altar. The antiphon, "I will go into the altar of God," contains the fundamental thought of this psalm, which should have the prominent place and hereby indicates the special point of view in which is to be taken and recited by the priest. That is, it gives the key to the liturgical and mystical understanding of the psalm in regarding the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And this psalm of King David expresses the sentiment perfectly which must animate the celebration of the Mass by the priest. It powerfully attracts to the altar.
He stands there at the foot of the altar. The priest, which represents Christ, longs to ascend to the altar of God, there to perform the holy office of sacrifice, to draw near to the Lord God and to be united to Him. And by this union with the Eucharistic Savior, cheerfully and joyfully to be strengthened in his own interior life. And this longing to the altar, I will go up to the altar of God, occurs 3 times at this psalm. To God, who giveth joy to my youth. What does that even mean? Given the fact that even a priest who is 80 years old says this. To God, who giveth joy to my youth. This does not mean the physical youth. It refers to the spiritual life. Because the spiritual life, the soul of grace, knows neither age nor youth. It's always new. It's always fresh. And the proof of this is that you can every day, you can receive this new life of grace in your soul. And even if somebody who is living a life of sin can even at the moment of death receive this new life of grace and therefore save his soul. And that's what this psalm indicates, this psalm expresses. To God I will step, who giveth youth to give us joy to my youth. So the psalm reads as follows after the introduction. Judge me, O God, and distinguish my cause from the nation that is not holy. Deliver me from the unjust and deceitful man. For thou, O God, art my strength. Why hast thou cast me off? And why go I sorrowful, whilst the enemy afflicteth me? Send forth thy light and thy truth. They have led me and brought me unto thy holy hill and into thy tabernacles. And I will go into the altar of God, unto God who giveth joy to my youth. I will praise thee upon the harp, O my God, why art thou sad, O my soul, and why dost thou disquiet me? Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him, the salvation of my countenance and my God. And perhaps one of the reasons why the modernists, even though some modernists already in the 20s expressed that this psalm has its justification, later on in the liturgical movement, they totally changed their mind on this. The reason, perhaps, why it was stripped from the Mass is verse 5, when he says, why art thou sad, O my soul, and why dost thou disquiet me? The modernists and the Protestants don't like this idea that there is something which is the distance from God, or sin would disquiet us, or disquiet the soul, disturbs the soul. And that is probably why it had to go. So as I already said, this psalm at the prayer of the foot of the altar is a psalm from King David. King David is praying to God, followed by a holy resolution, and concluded with an act of resignation and confidence in God. This psalm depicts the situation and the sentiment of King David in the Old Testament, who had been driven away from Jerusalem, from the holy temple of Jerusalem, by his own son, Absalom. And he was grievously harassed by his enemies. And the separation from the holy temple, that he could not be there, the presence of God in the holy temple, distressed him, King David, most of all, and appears to him as a punishment of God. Hence, he sorrowful longs after return to the sanctuary, to the tabernacle of God. There he will glorify God by sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving. In conclusion, he encourages himself to a cheerful confidence in God, to a reliance on his prompt assistance. And as I already said, the principal reason for choosing this psalm by the church is the first sentence. At Introibat Altare Dei, I will go unto the altar of God, which serves at the same time as an antiphon, that is, it gives a pointer to the mystical and ascetical comprehension of the holy hymn in its liturgical position and application. The priest is on the point of ascending the altar. The solemnity of the moment affects him in a lively manner. The world around him is immersed in victory. The world is surround him is immersed in wickedness, is full of deceit and violence. When we understand this in the way of sin. In his own interior, even there is a strife to combat of the spirit against the flesh. And hence, he implores God to protect his good and holy cause against a godless and deceitful world, to assist him to come off victorious over the old man of sin, that is, over the concupiscence of the flesh, over all perverse inclinations and attachments. The priest, at the prayer of the foot of the altar, is made aware by the church of his own weakness. At the same time, he is supposed to offer up the most holy sacrifice of Christ himself, the most holy. In this conflict, the priest is at the mass. On one hand, to be aware of his own unworthiness. On the other hand, he is supposed to lend his faculties to Christ as an instrument to offer up to Almighty God this most august sacrifice. That is why the priest knows that God alone is his strength and girds him with power, as another psalm says. That only God's nearness, presence, and assistance can avert defeat in this warfare against the enemies within and without. Besides the combats to be sustained against temptations, the passions and daily faults. They are frequently added either as a punishment of sin or as a trial and purification of our souls. The painful apprehension of being abandoned by God, and sometimes we feel exactly this in our world of ours, abandoned by God at times. The distressing thought or state of spiritual disgust, dryness, and darkness. In such a condition, presenting the strongest and most justifiable reason for sorrow, all adversaries appear to gather renewed strength. And hence, the phrase, why go I sorrowful whilst the enemy afflicteth me? And still at the same time, a ray of light at the prayer of the foot of the altar. Hope lights up even the darkest night of desolation and anxiety. The priest asks the Lord, who imparts to him the blissful light of truth, for grace and devotion. The Lord is his comfort and his guide. Who conducts him to the sanctuary, to the holy temple, to the mystical Calvary, and to the Eucharistic tabernacle. Of course, this psalm is concluded by what is called the little doxology, the glory be. And so even from this considerations, just of the psalm 42, the prayers of the foot of the altar, we see the difference between the new mass and the old mass. In a sense, the difference perhaps is most clear at the prayers of the foot of the altar, because the prayers of the foot of the altar were stripped totally from the Mass in the new Mass. As already said, the altar is the center. In the new Mass, it is not the altar. The center of the new Mass are the people. And that's the essential difference between the old Mass and the new Mass. And next Sunday, we continue this theme, particularly with the Confiteor, the confession of our sins at the prayers of the foot of the altar, which is the main part at the prayers of the foot of the altar. The acknowledgement of our sin, first of all, the priest himself alone acknowledging his sin, that is why he recites the Confiteor first for his own sin, and then the server again recites the Confiteor for the sin of those who assist at the holy sacrifice of the Mass, coupled with the intercession, the asking for the intercession of the saints for the forgiveness of sin, so that we are purified interior in our soul to assist in the proper sense in our soul at the holy sacrifice of the Mass. God bless you.